Let us turn to the Word of God and the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges, chapter 6. And we shall read from verse 33. Verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. May the Lord bless to us the reading of this portion of his own word as well. Well, the enemy has come again. The Midianites and the Amalekites are ready to invade Israel, to plunder them and ransack their property and steal their possessions. But this time, they will not succeed. God is sending Gideon to help deliver his people. And we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The Lord invests Gideon with strength, clothes him with strength, literally. And so Gideon presses forward. He is ready to do the Lord's work. God has already helped him in the first duty to throw down the altar of Baal. And now Gideon is ready to fight the Lord's battle. And he blows a trumpet, and the people gather. First, the people of his own family, Abiezer. They had recognized, no doubt, that God had preserved Gideon, that Baal did not vindicate himself. Baal did not take vengeance on Gideon for throwing down the altar. After all, Baal is Bosheth, that is worthless, vain, and empty. It's just an idol, a piece of whatever it was made of, this altar and the image that was by it. It was a piece of wood that was chopped down. It was burnt up. It was vain, a vain idol. So Baal has come down, and the altar of God was set up. God is being recognized and worshipped, and he is being obeyed. And God is strengthening his servant Gideon. But still, Gideon needs confirmation. He feels the need of a sign to strengthen his faith. And the Lord is merciful and gracious and grants Gideon's request. And what we desire to consider tonight is, first of all, three statements here. First, the Lord, that is the Lord's people, desire confirmation, just like Gideon desired assurance and confirmation that the Lord would be with him. And so the Lord's people, this is one characteristic of them, they desire to be assured. They want to know, they want to feel that God is with them. And secondly, the Lord bears with his people's doubts and fears, just as he was bearing with Gideon, and he granted Gideon's request so that the fleece was full of the dew, which he afterwards wrung out, and the bowl was full of water from the dew, and it was dry all around. That was a sign for Gideon that God was with him, and the Lord was granting his request. He was bearing with Gideon's doubts and fears, even for a second time and a third time. But thirdly, that's what we want to consider, how the Lord does indeed give assurance to his people, assuring them of his grace and his love. So the Lord's people desire confirmation. The Lord bears with our doubts and fears, and the Lord gives assurance of his grace. First of all, the Lord's people desire confirmation. Gideon is ready to lead the people to victory. God had sent him, God appointed him, and assured him that he would be present with Gideon. And so Gideon gathers an army, and he's ready to fight. But still, there is something lingering, some fear that is remains in his mind as to whether God will save Israel by his hand, as he says in verse 36. He needed assurance that God was really going to help him in the fight, in the battle. He desires a sign, something he can see with his own eyes that will confirm to his mind that the Lord will help him. And perhaps he requested this sign not just for himself, but for the people. Moses had signs when God used him to deliver his people from slavery in Egypt. Perhaps Gideon desired a sign that would confirm not only to his own mind, but to the people around him, that God indeed was sending him, using him to deliver Israel from Midian. Whatever it was, we see clearly that Gideon felt this need, that God would help him. And he doesn't show any hesitation at first in asking for a sign. He says in verse 36, "To God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." We do read that he hesitated, or at least showed some concern about whether he would displease God, when he requested the second sign, and it was so. Then we read verse 39, "And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once," and so on. He feared that the Lord would be displeased with him because God had already granted a sign to confirm to Gideon's mind that he would help Gideon fight and save Israel. Gideon was feeling that he was risking the Lord's displeasure. But one lesson we can learn from this is indeed the need for reverence in our requests to God. When we are praying that God would grant his favor and he would confirm his love to us, we must be submissive to his will, always. And there should always be reverence to him and a sense of our own unworthiness. We are not worthy that God would deal so graciously with us in spite of all our innumerable failings and sins. We should remember the infinite distance between us and the Most High, that when God does give us assurances of his love and favor, it is infinite condescension. So we must have a due sense of God's majesty and his holiness, remembering that we're sinners. We deserve his wrath and curse. We do not deserve any blessing whatsoever. We need to always remember that. And the only way that we can enjoy God's favor is through Christ, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He gave himself a ransom. His blood was the purchase price to the justice of God, to set sinners free from condemnation, from God's wrath and curse. This is how we experience God's favor, through Christ, through the blood of the cross. Christ made peace by his blood. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. And Christ is our peace. And certainly the way to overcome undue dread and terror of God's wrath and curse is through the blood of the cross, to approach God depending upon the merit of Christ. That's how we're to approach the Lord. The Lord is peace. He is our peace, Christ crucified. Well, this no doubt would be what Gideon knew from the sacrifices that were offered, and he himself was required to offer a sacrifice, and the sacrifices pointed to the Messiah, Christ to come. Well, Gideon had his doubts and fears. So it is with the Lord's people. They are anxious. They are sometimes concerned about one thing or another. And most of all, what has most weight with them is spiritual concerns. Will they have strength to carry on? Are they at present enjoying the blessing of the Lord? Are they in a state of carnal security? Are they trusting to themselves, trusting in their own heart? That is to be a fool. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, being sensitive to spiritual things, the Lord's people have their doubts and fears, and they desire confirmation. They desire assurance from the Word of God and from God Himself that God is with them, that God loves them, that His blessing is upon them. Well, let us notice in the second place that the Lord bears with His people's doubts and fears. Gideon requests this miracle, a sign that when the fleece that he puts out on the floor, and the floor, of course, is the threshing floor, a wide open space. He would be able to compare the fleece with the area around it, whether the dew was only on the fleece or not. But this was the sign that he requested, and it was so, we read verse 38. God granted his request. The Lord is merciful and gracious and hears his people's prayers. The fleece was full of the dew, and all the ground around was dry. And we read that he wrung out the fleece, a whole bowl full of water. And, of course, the dew would be a symbol of God's favor. Plentiful dew on the ground is a picture of the Holy Spirit coming upon a people. And so the fleece being full of the dew and the ground around being dry is a picture that Gideon, as already, was full of the Spirit of the Lord, but the Midianites were, of course, without the blessing of the Lord, and they were going to be destroyed. So here is a miracle, and it's a sign for Gideon, a supernatural answer. Surely that would suffice, Gideon. This would satisfy his mind, surely. Ah, no. Gideon was not fully satisfied. He requests another token, another sign that the Lord would be with them. He might have doubted, thinking that, well, if not for himself, the people might doubt that, well, a fleece, of course, a fleece naturally absorbs the moisture around it. And perhaps that's all that was taking place, a natural occurrence. Obviously, what should counter that objection is that the fleece was full of the dew, and there was a whole bowl full of water that was wrung out afterwards. But still, Gideon's mind required further confirmation. So it is with us, with ourselves. The mind can use an objection that is more or less unreasonable, but keeps it in the mind. It's lodged there until it builds up, and it soon has sway over all our thoughts in our mind. So Gideon's solution is to request a sign in the very opposite direction, that this time the ground would be wet and the fleece would be dry. And of course he says, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. Verse 40, and God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Well, this of course would be clarifying, a confirming of Gideon's mind. The Lord was granting his request, bearing with Gideon's remaining doubts and fears, so that everything now would be cleared up to him. But just by the way, one application that occurs to us of this opposite sign, perhaps we could have had this point later on, but the one application of this is that if we are searching for evidences of grace, and we believe Christ is precious to us, we hope that we have the joy of the Lord, but then if we doubt, is Christ truly precious to me? Is this real spiritual joy? Well, then look at the opposite grace. Look at the other side of it. If Christ is precious to me, well, surely sin will be bitter to me. If Christ is precious to me and I believe he's precious to me, but sin is not bitter to me and I have no hatred of sin, well, then we may very well be deceived. The Lord's people hate sin. Do we grieve over our sins? Do we hate what Christ hates? If we truly love the Savior and he's lovely to us, then what is unlovely to Christ will be unlovely to us. We will love what he loves, we will hate what he hates. So try ourselves by the very opposite graces if we are tending to doubt particular evidences of our grace. But then again, we need the Holy Spirit in all our self-examination, because no matter how numerous the evidences are of grace in us, if we're subject to skepticism and doubts, our minds will never be satisfied without the light of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit blessing the self-examination and enabling us to get the comfort of our self-examination. When we conclude that we do have grace, that it's by the Holy Spirit that we get the comfort of that. So that is one application that occurs to us here. But our point is just now the long suffering of the Lord in granting Gideon's request. God did not delay to answer his prayer. The Lord was ready and willing to help his poor, weak servant, Gideon. David knew that in Psalm 86, verse 15, when he is quoting the Lord speaking to Moses in Exodus chapter 34, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." The Lord knows our frame. He knows that we're dust. He knows our tendency to doubt and fear. He knows that we feel the need of further confirmation and confirming it again. He knows that we have nowhere else to go but to himself. And Gideon was basically saying what the father of that demon-possessed child was praying to the Lord: "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe, but I have remaining doubts. Help my unbelief. Confirm to me thy word." And again, the Lord knows that is how we are, because, and we know that he knows that because there are numerous promises or confirming words in the scriptures to assure us. He knows that we tend to fear, and he's always saying, "Fear not, for I am with thee." And so he meets us where we are in our condition to assure us that he is with us. We're reminded, of course, of Abraham, who took upon him to speak unto the Lord, and he was afraid that he was perhaps going beyond the boundaries of what was permissible in his approach to the Lord, but the Lord was condescending, and one number after another, less and less, in order to meet Abraham's requests. Only 10 people, if that's all there was in the city, and God would spare the city. Of course, there weren't even 10 people left in Sodom, and the city was destroyed, but God was merciful to Lot and rescued him and his little family. Well, God is merciful, and he shows that long-suffering in so many cases in Scripture, to Moses, to Elijah, to his disciples in the New Testament, how ready he is to show that he loves them. And that is what we consider. Finally, in the third place, the Lord gives assurance of his grace and his love and his care. You'll notice, of course, in chapter 7 that the Lord again meets Gideon in his particular condition. Verse 10, "But if thou fear to go down to fight, to overcome this host, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host." And so that's when Gideon hears a man telling his dream to his fellow that cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his reply was, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." And Gideon's response to that was that he worshipped the Lord and returned to the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." So God strengthens his people. He confirms the feeble knees. He is calling his people to lift up their hands and go forward to serve him, because he strengthens them. And we've already referred to Psalm 86, where David is praying to the Lord there and says, "O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid." David, his strength came from God, and he needs further strengthening. Then he prays, "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me," or helped me, "and comforted me." And you could perhaps say that the strength he prays for in verse 16 is indeed the token that he also prays for. In other words, when God strengthens him, that will be the token that assures him that God indeed is with him. And so, literally, the word show me a token for good, the word literally is make me a token. Make me a token for good. And so what David is praying for is a providential deliverance that will be the proof that God is with him, that when God actually intervenes providentially and helps David, delivering him from the hand of his enemy, that will be the token of God's goodness to David. And so it is for us. We don't need to pray for a supernatural occurrence. When God helps his people and strengthens them, that is a spiritual putting forth of grace in their souls, and that's the token that they need. That's the token, the sign that God is with them. We know that God is with us when he strengthens us. And so that's what we should be praying for. Cause me to know that thou art with me by giving me grace to press on when the Spirit of the Lord is causing grace to be in exercise, then we know that we have the Spirit. We know the Lord is with us. And then again, the Lord sometimes gives us tokens of his presence and his love to us by assuring us within our souls of his love. It's a sense of his love. Perhaps when we're reading or praying, the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. He causes us to feel, to know it. We may not be able to explain it, but it's when we are reading and praying and seeking the Lord that sometimes, at least with some of his people, the Lord does give a sense of his love. And that's a token. That's a sign that God is with them. Or there might be light upon the word, reading the word, and it's impressed upon us, perhaps even forcefully impressed upon us, and we feel this, that the Lord is with us. He's giving us light and understanding of his word. Or in a providential opening or help the Lord gives us in providence and circumstances in our lives, hearing our prayers for certain things. He's meeting our needs or giving us help in a remarkable way. This may be the Lord people taking it as an assurance that God is with them. It may be even a recollection of a past experience when the memory of it comes into our mind in a vivid way, and we feel the comfort of that past experience. The Lord has different ways of giving confirmation and assurance to his people that he is with them. He will help them. He will strengthen them. And of course, when he fulfills his promises to us, when we've been praying and pleading a promise, and then we feel the renewing of his strength, and we're enabled to do our duties, we're enabled to turn from sin and resist sin, and we feel desires after him and going forward in the path of duty, is this not a token that the Lord is present, the Lord is helping us? Show me a token for good. And this in the face of obstacles, in the presence of enemies. David says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." So many ways the Lord has of dealing with his people to strengthen them and to assure them. The Lord is merciful. He does indeed give assurance of his love and his care. He's willing to do so. The Lord is willing to give strong consolation by his word, the revelation of his counsel and covenant of grace, and the oath that he makes for his people's comfort, and the numerous declarations of Christ in his word, who is the great Melchizedek, or the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who has entered into the veil. He is the forerunner of his people. He is the anchor of the soul, this hope that is in Christ. The Lord is very gracious. In him, compassions flow. His word is full of assurances. We do not need a miracle, because the miracles are recorded in his word. He fed the 5,000. He gave sight to the blind. The resurrection of Christ himself, the greatest miracle of all, is proof to us of the reality of Christianity, and the proof to us of the forgiveness of our sins. If the guilt of sin is troubling us, we should go to an empty tomb. Come see where the Lord lay. The empty tomb speaks peace, because the empty tomb speaks of a resurrected Christ. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The work is finished, and believers rest upon the finished work of Christ. He has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and the resurrection is the proof of it, the confirmation to us. Friends, we need to go more and more to the Word of God itself. Yes, we desire feelings, and we're not against that at all. We want to be confirmed in our souls. We want to know and feel God is with us. But the Lord always works with his Word. He uses his Word. And it's not for us to prescribe to the Lord the way in which we desire to be assured. Pray for assurance, pray for strength, pray for confirmation. Pray that he would confirm to us, he would confirm to us his word, which we did gladly hear, and that we would know that he is with us, but that he would do so in his own way and for his own glory. We don't have any warrant to expect a miracle, but we do have his word, and that's the greatest miracle, the word of God, inspired by the Spirit and preserved throughout the ages by the singular care and providence of God. And he will give us confirmation through his word. And there is one more token, which you all know, is the sign and the seal of the covenant of grace. Show me a token for good. He has given it to us already. He will give it to us for everyone who really desires it. This is what we have a full warrant and right in Christ to expect and to receive, according to Christ's own appointment, the sacrament of his body and blood, wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine, according to Christ's appointment, his death is showed forth, and the worthy receivers are, not after a corporal and carnal manner, but by faith, made partakers of his body and blood, to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. This is our duty, if we're believers in Christ, to show forth his death till he come. This do in remembrance of me. Well, in conclusion, Gideon, he was weak. He desired assurance. But it was Gideon's faith that made him look to the Lord for further confirmation. Gideon believed, and he was going to the Lord for that further confirmation. He was not like the unbelieving Jews who said to Jesus, "Show us a sign, show us a sign." The Lord didn't give them a sign except for the prophet Jonas. He was directing them to the Word. But we're to go to the Lord in submission with reverence and godly fear, and recognize that, friends, we are to do our duty even without that further assurance. We're to do our duty. If we know that God is calling us to do it, we're to do it and pray for grace. And when God gives us grace to do our duty, that's a token he is with us. And when we experience more of that grace, then we have more assurance. As we read in Psalm 41, verse 11, "By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me." When he gives us grace to resist the devil and go forward in duty, then we know that God is with us. "As for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever." And God offers you, friend, the living bread. "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." That is the greatest gift, and that is the greatest sign. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and you have been offered that gift time and again. It's being offered to you again. Receive Christ. Take him, friend. If you don't take him, you will perish in hell forever. Say in the depths of your soul, "I must have Christ. If I don't have Christ, I will perish forever. But none perish that him trust." May he bless his word. Let us pray.